Hey, good morning, good morning. I'm George Corliss, and you're listening and have tuned in to Strong Tower Radio today. Jelaine is not with us today. She's on vacation, so let's remember her in your prayers that she's on a cruise. I hope she doesn't get on one of those cruises that gets caught out in the middle of the ocean, like that one that was publicized so greatly here about a month or so ago. But the weather outside is kind of changing now, a little bit more sunshine. Our family has begun to tap maple trees. We collect the syrup, or not the syrup, but the sap to make into syrup, and we cook it down. And in fact, my wife just called and said that we got about a gallon or so here in this last batch that we just took off. And so kind of excited about that. I don't know what you're doing as you look at spring coming very quickly, but I'm sure all of us are glad to see that because it's been a long winter. And today we're going to be playing 20 questions. And if you've never heard this program before, we do it about three or four times a year. And we call it 20 Questions with a Champion in Christ. And today our guest is Ruthie Calkins from Tustin. Good morning, Ruthie.
Good morning, George. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And yourself?
I'm just fine, thank you.
It's grand to have you here. Ruthie is probably one of my favorite persons that I've ever had a chance to meet. And she's been quite a mentor to me spiritually. And I think not only to me, but to many other people who have come to know Christ on a personal basis. And Ruthie, just super excited about having you here and being able to play 20 questions with us today.
Hey, George, I love you.
Yeah, there
and
we
I'm
go.
And I'm so happy to share my love of God.
Now, folks, the idea behind these questions that are asked, that each one is designed to share the depth of a person's relationship with Christ and how they've traveled the road to get to where they're at today. And by asking these questions, you're going to have the opportunity to listen to their life story and hopefully to apply their thoughts and ideas to your life so that you can strengthen your relationship with Christ so that you too can become a champion in Christ. Now, here's the big thing, though, and a lot of people get a little bit queasy, Ruthie, when I say this. The person answering the questions has not seen the questions ahead of time.
That's right.
Does that make you a little apprehensive?
Just a little.
Just a little. So I think that you'll really enjoy this, and folks, I know that you will too. And we always start with a word of prayer. So, Ruthie, let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for our listening audience, and I just want to thank you for Ruthie being here and being willing to share her relationship with you today. I just ask and pray that you please touch each one of our hearts and draw us closer to you and also closer to each other. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, Ruthie, are you ready? Why don't you start out by telling us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up at and where you're at now?
I was born in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
And sometimes my speech betrays me.
Okay.
Then when I was almost right about 11, my parents moved to Florida and they took me with them. And then I was living in Florida until I went off to college. After that, I taught in Florida for 3 years. And then I came to teach in Michigan.
Okay. Where would that be at?
And at Andrews.
At Andrews University, mm-hmm. Down in Berrien Springs.
Berrien Springs, Michigan.
Okay.
Yes. And I taught there until Jim asked me to come live up here in this area,
now,
Tustin.
Jim is your husband. He's deceased here just a couple of years ago.
Yes.
And how long have you lived up in the Cadillac area then in Tustin?
Almost 41 years.
Wow.
And 40, no, it'll soon be 42.
And you've always been a farm girl.
My dad earned his living by farming. He had greenhouses, sold plants, but he loved to feed people. So he farmed.
Mm-hmm. That's just great stuff. And you've kind of taken upon that. Now, you guys have, probably an acre or so of garden? Is that?
I'm very poor at measuring a plot when I just look out the window. It's a big garden.
It's a big garden, folks.
And George, it lacks common sense for our family to have such a big garden, but we love to share the produce. So That's why we do it.
And you guys eat a lot of the produce yourself. You can, and you freeze, and you dry, and you do all kinds of things.
That's right.
And you guys also tap trees for maple syrup.
I canned, processed last night, 10 quarts.
10 quarts. Wow. Mm-hmm. And that's great stuff. And your stepson, Keith, is kind of the troublemaker when it comes to the syrup, you know, in the sap.
He goes, gathers that sap. That's yes, right. He does.
Uh-huh. All right. So let's start out this. In our first segment, I'm going to ask you 7 questions. Here's the first one. What person had the biggest effect on you becoming a Christian and why?
I would say 2 people.
Okay.
My mom and my dad. They were both dedicated Christians from before I was born. And so as a babe, I was dedicated to the Lord. And I had to learn my memory verses. I had to recite them before the church. And I was very ill if I wasn't in church every Sabbath.
Wow, that's just great stuff. So mom and dad had the biggest effect on you.
And my dad made me think. He would question and help us to have deep thoughts about God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, question number 2. What do you admire the most about Christ and why?
I just love the way he treats people. I just love his personality, his sense of humor. I can hardly wait to see him face to face. And I am so happy that I can live with him through eternity because I just like his personality, his character, and again, his sense of humor.
That's a great answer. And so question number 3, how do you continue to nurture your relationship with Christ on a daily basis?
I pray. I usually do not hit the floor without prayer in the morning. God and I are friends. I like to talk to him. And his word, I treasure the Bible. I treasure studying the Bible. I find the way he communicates awesome, absolutely awesome. The stories he has told, the way he has treated people. That's how I keep my relationship with him. And I like to read other inspirational writers, especially I get benefit in my devotional life from the writings of Ellen White, Desire of Ages You Can't Beat, and Patriarchs and Prophets. If a person doesn't have those books or Steps to Christ, right now it's Christ Object Lessons. That's really in a devotional way.
Mm-hmm. Now, she's written a lot of books. Would you consider, like, The Desire of Ages one of your favorites as far as a non, you know, not a Bible book or a Bible?
Well, you asked me about Jesus, okay? You read Desire of Ages and you fall in love with Jesus. He is God. He is very God, but he became man and lived with us. And so, wow, when you read Desire of Ages, it just makes him your close neighbor and the best friend.
And folks, if you don't know what that book is, it's actually a book written on the life of Christ. It was written back around 1900. And to my knowledge, I know I used to be a colporter, and that was one of the books that I sold. A colporter is a person that goes door to door and sells Christian books. And that book is the most asked for book on the life of Christ, more so than any other, and especially in the Library of Congress. I don't know if you knew that or not, Ruthie.
Yes.
But just a fantastic book. One of my favorites, too, I'd have to say. Okay, next question. What 3 persons have had the largest effect in nurturing your relationship with Christ and why?
Okay.
Mom and dad was the one that lit the spark.
Exactly. Okay. In my home. Uh-huh. Let's face it, in my home. I had good teachers. I had really good teachers that interested me in the study of the Bible. But growing my Christian experience, I would have to say Dr. Kenneth Hart and Dr. Graham Maxwell, Dr. Daniel Duda, that's three, I could name more, that have helped me to understand more about my precious Jesus.
Okay, you're going to have to elaborate a little bit more than that.
Dr. Maxwell had such a loving view of God that when you just love God, and he helped me to understand that I couldn't be good enough without Jesus changing my heart, and that it's all by the grace of God. He helped me to understand, too, and Dr. Hart and Dr. Duda and some of these other people that I studied, their writings, that if I'm going to live with someone forever, okay, I plan to live in eternity in heaven and then again here on this earth when this earth is recreated, I better know the person I'm going to live with. You know, when I married Jim, I wanted to check out how he would deal with his temper before I married him. I mean, that's just common sense. So if I'm going to live with God for eternity, I want to know what he's like. And these people seem to help me to understand that God really, really, really loves me. And I can't be good enough to please them, but they love me. And they will change my selfish heart.
Okay, next question. Besides the Bible, and you kind of jumped ahead to this a little bit, but what three books have had the biggest effect on your relationship with Christ? And if you could describe the books a little bit for our listeners.
Okay, Desire of Ages. We already talked about this, but I can't underline that enough, the Desire of Ages, because it just makes Jesus, who is God, so real. He walked dirty roads, and he got dirty feet. And it just helps me to see this whole thing when in at the Last Supper, he kneels and washes dirty feet. And not one of those 12 so much as says, please, may I wash your dirty feet. When I see that and how he came to serve and how he's willing to serve me and change my heart. Wow. Okay, so the Desire of Ages, because that really, really sticks with the biblical narrative and makes it Jesus so wonderful. Patriarchs and Prophets helps me to understand what happened in heaven, the war. Revelation chapter 12, the war that happened in heaven, because it starts with the beginning. So that book, Patriarchs and Prophets, is very helpful. And then The Great Controversy develops that theme even more. There was war in heaven over the character and government of God. And Jesus came to show us what God is like, to win this war so that we could live forever in peace.
You know, one of the questions, Ruthie, that a lot of people have as I've studied with them is that they want to know, why did God allow sin and suffering to come upon the human race? And if I'm not mistaken, in Patriarchs and Prophets and in The Great Controversy, I think that's the first chapter, isn't it?
Exactly. And it helps you to understand why there's sin and why there's suffering. And, you know, when I'm hurting, when my husband died, when my baby died, if I did not have this view of God, I don't know how I would cope. And the Bible helps me to understand so much. And sometimes when I read a passage, I have to go over and over it again to see really what does this say about God.
And sometimes not just about God, but about what sin is, doesn't it?
Exactly.
That definition of that and understanding those things can really put things in perspective that may actually give you a different view of God than what he really is. So, okay, next question. When you look at the cross of Christ, what is the first thing that comes to your mind?
My God. Why have you forsaken me?
Okay, you're going to have to explain that.
Well, when Jesus was dying there on the cross for me, as my substitute. He cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? He repeated the words of Psalm 22, the first part there, verses 1 and 2, I believe, of Psalm 22. And then that comes to my mind, because Jesus died the death the sinner will die in the end. And so that tells me how the sinner will die in the end. So it helps me to understand God's love.
So he didn't say, my God, why are you killing me?
Exactly. No, he did not say that at all. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that helps me to understand, George, that if I walk away from God, he will do everything in his power to bring me back because he loves me. But there will come a time when I walk away and he will say to me, Ruthie, there's nothing more I can do. And I will not force you, because love means freedom. And you have freedom to choose. But if you walk away, I will let you go. And like Jesus cried, I think in the end the sinner will cry, as Romans 1 says, my God, why have you let me go?
Okay.
But God says, you have freedom. And I love that kind of God. Because if, you know, just relating it to my life, if my husband would have not given me freedom, uh-oh, it would have been bad news. Because love means freedom.
There you go. That's a great comparison there. Okay, last question this segment. What has been your biggest revelation about God the Father to this point, to this date in your life, and why?
John chapter 14.
Okay.
Okay, when Philip said to Jesus, show us the Father, and Jesus said, oh, Philip, have I been so long with you? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And George, I say so often to people, you can't be good enough in your own right to appease God. And beside that, he doesn't want to be appeased. He loves you. He loves me. And so my biggest revelation is, when I look at Jesus, I see God. And Jesus doesn't have to plead the Father for me. He doesn't have to say, please forgive her. No, no, because he said, God already loves you.
And so your answer to people that they see Jesus and they see this Lamb, you know, the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. But when they look at the Father, their thoughts and ideas are completely almost to the opposite of who this Lamb is. And you're saying, wait a minute, that's not what the scriptures say.
Exactly. 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 Yes. And so when I see Jesus and his love, George, he took children on his lap. They looked in his eyes. They loved him. They wanted to be with him. Children are a good indication of what you're like. And when kids crawl up on your lap and want to be with you, there's a trusting relationship. And if I've seen Jesus, I've seen the Father.
I can't remember if this is in Zephaniah or Zechariah. I'm thinking Zechariah 3:17, but it says, the Father rejoices over you with singing.
Yes.
Think about that.
Zephaniah.
Is it Zephaniah?
It's Zephaniah.
Just a wonderful, wonderful verse. And that really has gotten me through some struggling times sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, well, folks, stay tuned, because we're right in the middle of this, 20 questions with a champion in Christ, and we'll be right back with more of Strong Tower Radio Today. Hey, welcome back to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm George Corliss. Jelaine Fenner is on assignment, I guess you could say vacation would be another word for it. She's actually on a cruise with her husband down in the Florida, the Caribbean there. Hey, a question for you. Have you ever been to the Strong Tower Radio website? There's a variety of spiritual resources there that are designed to enhance your relationship with Christ, including daily devotionals, Bible study guides and resources, our monthly radio schedule and newsletter, Strong Tower Radio Today archives, and much more. And you can access all of them at www.strongtowerradio.com. www.ruthiecawkins.org. And if you just tuned in, I'm George Corliss, and today my guest is Ruthie Cawkins, and we're playing 20 questions with a champion in Christ. And the objective behind this is that we ask these questions, and they're each designed to share the depth of Ruthie's relationship with Jesus and how she's traveled the road to get where she's at today. And our hope, by you listening to this life story as Ruthie shares, that you can apply these thoughts, that you can learn different things, and maybe have different ideas about ways to nurture your relationship with Christ, and so you can strengthen that relationship, that so that you too can become a champion in Christ. And once again, the person answering the questions, Ruthie, has not seen the questions ahead of time, and I think that can sometimes be quite apprehensive for a lot of people. I know some people kind of balk at coming in and even, you know, doing 20 questions because of that. They want to see what they're going to be answering. But I think that people, when they answer right off the top of their head, right from their heart, that, you know, you're going to get that real sense there. So we're at question number 8. Here you go, Ruthie. Here's the next question. What promise in the Bible do you cherish more than any other? And why?
The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but is long-suffering, right there, to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. I cherish that because he's long-suffering. Sometimes I have to learn the hard way.
What's another word for long-suffering for us?
Very, very, very patient.
So patience is a real virtue as you look at the character of God then.
And as I look at my Christian experience, how he has been so patient with me through these years.
Mm-hmm. We just put a new song in the library here at Strong Tower Radio, and it's called "He's Still Working on Me."
Yes, I like to make me what I ought
to
be.
Right. I like that song. So, okay, next question. What event in your life has caused your faith to grow in Christ the most, and why? You might have to think about that one.
I think that the death of my 2.5-month-old Jana, I think that that really was a very, very sad time for me, and it was a very soul-searching time, how I was going to deal with God in this.
Was it expected, or this just, it was unexpected?
It was unexpected.
Okay.
It was very unexpected. An E. coli infection from the nursery, and it was treated with the wrong antibiotic. Mm. And a beautiful child, absolutely beautiful baby. And being an older mother, because I was married when I was 35, this was very, very difficult situation. And so, yes, you asked me, and that I would say I really had to do it long and hard with God.
Mm-hmm. I could imagine. Never had anything like that happen before. Not deaths of, you know, my father when he was elderly and my mom and, of course, grandmas and grandpas and stuff, but not a baby.
It caused me to have this very close relationship with God so I could work through this experience and help me to understand so much about his love for me.
How did Satan try to put a wedge in there?
How did he try to put a wedge? Oh, distractions and false ideas about God. And why this would happen to me? Was God punishing me? Absolutely not. I had to learn so much about God and his relationship and love for me through this. And you know, George, I have to say now, I can rejoice that God had his hand in the affairs of my life, because think of the fun I will have rearing this baby for the Lord in heaven.
That's true.
I mean, this is, you know, when the Lord comes in the clouds of glory, and that guardian angel who is guarding where she sleeps brings that baby to me, George, hip, hip, hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray.
I get to rear a child in heaven and never a spanking, never a stand in the corner. This can't be beat.
Yeah, I guess. I never thought of that before like that. That's great stuff.
God and I settled it, and yes, I go on and rejoice in the Lord.
Okay, next question. If you could do one thing over in your life, what would it be, and why would you want to do it over?
There's so much I'd want to do over again. I suppose that I would have trusted the Lord more in my youth and been more patient to wait on His leading. I certainly am happy that I chose the career to be a teacher, because I just loved working with the junior high kids, But I really enjoyed that. I liked being a mom. I liked being a wife and a daughter. If I could do it over again, I think I would do a better job taking care of my mom and dad in their late years, because I would know better how. Yeah, I would like that opportunity to do it over. There's some things I would have changed there.
Now, you brought mom and dad, though, from, what was it, South Carolina?
Yes.
Up to your home so that you could take care of them.
Exactly. And being a teacher, I'm not in the medical field, and I think had I known more, I could have done a better job with their health.
Next question. What is the most challenging moment of your life since becoming a Christian, and why?
George, I would say I was reared as a Christian.
Okay.
Okay. So there was never a time when I became a Christian, because I was reared this way.
Okay.
So the challenging things is when I meet with people, and I want so much to share that God is love, that He loves them, and the plan of salvation, that He will not torture His children who choose not to live with Him. How can I do this? And it's so frustrating to me and challenging when people don't want to listen. It leaves me sad.
Wow.
Because I'd love them to know my Jesus, my God. So I always pray the Holy Spirit will work on my heart to do it right, to share God's love with people.
Okay. Next question. What is the most rewarding moment of your life, and why?
Well, there's been many. When the children, that my stepchildren and my daughter, when they have surrendered their hearts and lives to the Lord, that is so rewarding. Absolutely rewarding. And when my husband said he was glad he married me, that was very rewarding, you know?
Right.
But when someone accepts Jesus as their Savior, and that light goes on in their eyes, that they are loved by God, that's so rewarding. And then when I give a piano lesson, and it just dawns on the kid what it's all about, and they're playing the piano, it just really makes me happy. That's very rewarding.
Now, how many young people have you taught to play the piano over the years?
Oh, George, I'm clueless. Most, I can't even imagine.
Hundreds, probably?
Probably.
What is it like for you when you're sitting in church and all of a sudden here comes special music and here comes one of your students?
That's very rewarding. Very, very, very rewarding.
What was it like with the first one that you ever taught? Was it difficult and different things that you had to learn and unlearn, I guess you could say, along the way?
Oh, yeah. My degree was not in music. It was in education. And so, yeah, I know how to teach, but did I know that much about music? But I had a good piano teacher, so I learned good theory and how to do. And so, hey, yeah, I had to learn. And who was my first student? Florence. And she plays better than I do.
And that's your daughter?
Yes, my stepdaughter.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yes. And she plays better than I do. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well,
and that's exciting to me. When I hear some of my students and they play for weddings and like this, wow, that's rewarding.
That's exciting.
Yes. So. But the most is when someone accepts my God for who He is, the love. You know?
Yes. Okay, next question. What do you believe are the three most important qualities for you as a Christian to possess, and why?
The unselfish heart.
Okay. That's number one.
That's number one. I really, really pray that God will write his law of love in my heart so that everything I do, the motive is love. Absolute, pure love from God. I want every action not to be, am I winning brownie points, but am I reflecting God's love?
Okay.
So that's number one. And number two, I would like to have the ability to communicate effectively to others the love of God and to teach so that when people are in my class and we're studying the Bible, that I can communicate well. And the third thing, I wish I had more artistic talent to communicate God's love in an artistic way.
Okay, you're going to have to expound on that. Are you talking about drawing and paintings and pictures, or what are you talking about?
Oh, that'll take eternity.
Okay.
But with music, to express God's love in music and in creating things, I think, like, some people can sew so well, and I make quilts and do like this, and I knit and I crochet. But I wish I had talent to be more creative.
Okay. And then it's just like, I suppose, and I'm not a piano player, but some people play the piano and sometimes quite mechanically. And it sounds good, but some people play the piano and it's like completely different. It's very emotional almost from the heart. The fingers are just supercharged with...
See, George, that's what I wish I could do. And it would be... And when I speak... Okay, when I communicate with people, I wish I could do that and really have that effectiveness that I am communicating, not just words, but love and the concepts behind it. I would really.
Okay, I gotcha. I think on that one, I think everybody did too. And folks, that's the end of our second segment. And once again, we'll be back very soon with our third segment of 20 Questions with a Champion in Christ and Ruthie Calkins. So stay tuned for more Strong Tower Radio Today. Hey, welcome back to Strong Tower Radio Today. I'm George Corliss. And folks, Strong Tower Radio now offers free online correspondence courses on our website at strongtowerradio.org. We've got two different studies that are available for you to take part in. The first is called Discover, which will help you to become acquainted with the Bible and find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with on an everyday basis. And these simple online study guides will help you to discover the Bible's basic teachings and reveal what the future holds. And then the second one is called Focus on Prophecy. Now, I don't know if you're a prophecy nut or not, but this will introduce you to what prophecy is all about and will take you through the prophetic books of Daniel and Revelation and how they relate to you and our world today. And once again, these are free online study guides and they can be found on our website at strongtowerradio.org. We've been having some fun today. We've got Ruthie Calkins in the studios, and we're playing 20 Questions with a Champion in Christ. And once again, each question that is asked is designed to share the depth of Ruthie's relationship with Christ and how she traveled the road to get where she's at today. And our hope is that by listening to her story and applying these thoughts and ideas to your life, you can strengthen your relationship with Christ so that you too can become a champion in Christ. And once again, the person answering the questions, Ruthie, today has not seen the questions ahead of time. And it makes sometimes for a couple of pauses here and there, huh, Ruthie?
That's right.
That's right. Because sometimes you're thinking, you know, you're just being placed in a situation where everything is kind of, you know, taken away so that, you know, people can really see what's going on in your heart and in your mind as you think about these things. So here we go. Here's our next question in our last segment. What is the best biblical counsel that you have ever received and why?
Best biblical counsel. I think that the best counsel would be, do unto others as you would have them do to you.
Okay, and why?
Because, you know, by nature, we have inherited lack of trust in God and lack of trust in others. And so the best thing that we can do is learn to trust God and do to Him as you would have Him do to you. He wants time with you, and I want time with Him. He's willing to take time for me. I should be willing to do for Him. I want people to do for me. I should be willing to do for them. So I should get rid of the selfishness and put others first, put God first and others first in my life.
You know, I think something just came to me. I'd really never looked at it from that standpoint, because a lot of times I know I've told children's stories where you've said, where Jesus obviously said, you know, when you do it unto the least of these, you do it even unto me. But at the same time, you're saying that let's look at God first.
Exactly. I want Him to do for me, so I should be doing for Him. I think that, you know, when the kids come to me, my grandkids, they want me to do for them. And I see here, I've learned a lot about this. I want them to do for me, so we do to others as we would have them do to us.
Well, that's great insight. I like that. Okay, next question. What is the best biblical counsel that you have ever given to someone else, and why?
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Our focus cannot be on get. It must be on give for the kingdom of God.
Now, who was the first person that you ever shared that counsel with?
Directly?
Directly.
I would say my kids.
Your kids.
Well, indirectly, you have to be very careful how you share. It has to come from the heart, and you have to help them to see that to pile up treasures on this earth doesn't matter a hoot, you know? It doesn't matter a hoot.
I think, just in my mind, something flashed. The first pastor that I ever had did a sermon one time, and it was called "It's All Gonna Burn," and that's basically what you're saying.
That's right. And I don't really come out and directly say this to people, because they would think you're not planning for the future, and you're not using good judgment in this. You know, you have to budget. Well, yes, and you have to budget for the future. And I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that the focus of our life should be eternity with God.
I had a very wise person tell me one time, he says, George, you'll never see a hearse hauling a U-Haul to the graveyard.
No.
I had to stop and think about that, but how profound of a statement that truly is. And what did Jesus say? You know, put up your treasure
in heaven.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. I like this one. I think this is my favorite one of all of them. If today was your last 24 hours on earth, you got 24 hours to live. That's it. Okay. What three things would be at the top of your bucket list to do and why? So you got 24 hours.
24 hours.
What three things do you want to accomplish in those 24 hours?
I want to communicate with my Father in heaven. It's okay. It's okay, Jesus. Anytime you say is fine with me.
Okay.
I'm ready for my nap.
All right.
Okay. That's number, and I trust you. I trust you. And the next thing, okay. Are you ready, George, for this?
I'm ready.
It's in the safe. And I want my memorial service or funeral service to show God's love. I don't talk about me, talk about my God, because I love him. The love of God, great is thy faithfulness. Yes, that's number two.
It's number two.
Number two. Okay, it's in the safe, all the directions.
Why is it so important for your funeral? Some people would think that that would be kind of morbid. So you're going to have to tell me, tell our listeners why your funeral is so important to you.
Because it's my last time to witness.
Okay.
I mean, when people come there, they have to sit still and be quiet. It's only courteous, and they have to listen, right? And so I have already instructed my stepson that he is to talk about God.
And he's a pastor, folks.
That's right. Yeah. And he is to talk about God, not about Ruthie. Because Ruthie's righteousness is filthy rags. Only by the grace of God am I saved. Only his robe of righteousness covers me. And I praise God for that. And I want everyone who is there, okay, to know that my God loves more than they can even hope or imagine to be loved. And that please give your heart to him so that you will be with me.
So let's talk about a funeral a little bit. Obviously, you're going to have family and friends there. And probably some of the family and some of the friends, the only time they're in churches is for a funeral, unfortunately, or maybe for a wedding. And so this is an opportunity, is what you're saying, to be able to possibly reach someone with the love of God before it's too late.
Exactly. So, George, if you learn one thing from me is my God loves you, okay? He loves you. And when I say that, underline loves you.
Mm-hmm. And so number one, God, it's okay. Number two, preach the love of God at my funeral. And then number three?
Okay. Back up to number two. Don't talk about me.
Don't talk about Ruthie.
Don't talk about me. And number three, I want those grandkids. I want to hug them, okay? And my kids, yeah.
So you want to be surrounded by your family and to be able to say goodbye in a timely manner, mm-hmm. then, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that it's just going to be a blink of an eye.
That's
right?
Right.
And we're going to be reunited.
And hey, my nap won't be long. You know, like I say to the kids, it's time for a nappy poo. Jesus will say, Ruthie, it's time for a nappy poo. And before you, my next conscious thought will be that cloud in the east. And oh, what rejoicing.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, next question. If you could lead anyone in the world to the foot of the cross, who would it be and why? Would you choose them?
Who would it be?
Who would it be?
Oh, anybody who comes.
No.
Just one person.
One person. You've got to choose one person.
By name?
Well, if you'd like to.
Oh, I have three people that live with me right now, and they are so precious to me: Jonathan, Seth, and Daniel.
Okay.
I want them to know God loves them.
And those are all grandbabies.
Those are my grandsons, and so. I mean, there's so many people, George. I want you to be there with me.
Amen. I want to be there, too.
I mean, George,
with you guys. That's right.
I love you.
That's
right. I want you to be in and your kids, you know? I mean, you're Adam. I want him to be there,
Amen.
Too, singing with me, you know? I mean, I had relationship with him when I taught him a little.
Right.
So, you know, these kids that I taught, we got to be together in heaven. But you ask for, you know, there's got to be the three that are with me right now.
Okay. Next one. Who's your favorite Bible character besides Jesus and why?
Well, I love that John. Okay. I like the way he writes. I like the chiasm he uses in Revelation.
Okay. Chiasm. Can you explain that to our
listeners?
That's
a literary structure, like an outline. Okay. And an outline that goes A, B, C, D, whatever, and then goes backwards. And they
it goes
parallel.
Then D, C, B, A.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. I like the way he writes. I like the depth of his love relationship with Jesus. he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. He caught it. He caught it. So John is one of my favorites. But there's Nehemiah. Do you know Nehemiah chapter 13? He is priceless. He said, God, I did this and this and this. Now remember me. And, you know, I think that is so precious. So I want to meet him. And Habakkuk, you know, he wrote, hurry up, hurry up. And God says, just wait. You know, you're going to see it happen. Just wait. And so some of these I really like.
Be patient.
Be patient.
Be patient.
Yeah.
I'll arrive right on time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay, great. What is the first thing you want to ask Jesus when you meet him face to face?
Oh, I just want to hug him. A question. Please, dear Jesus, sit down and let's talk. And I can imagine why, some whys. Why did my mom suffer so with rheumatoid arthritis? Maybe not every joint, but it seemed like every joint. Why did my gifted father have Parkinson's and lose it, you know? And why some of these things like this. Some of these.
Tough questions.
Yeah, but I'm happy. When I look back, I'll say, God, you did it right.
Okay. And then your last question. If you could ask any question you wanted to our listening audience, what would it be and why would you choose that question?
I would say, what are you waiting for, folks, to give your heart to the Lord? And if you've already done it, let's study deeper and let's get to know him better. That's what I would like to say to our listening audience.
And why?
And why? Because you know what? It's all about relationships. Heaven is all about people. God loves people. And he puts that love in our hearts, takes that selfishness out so our focus isn't on self. And listening audience, it'll be really fun throughout eternity to sit and chat, to eat together, to eat the fruit of the tree of life, to travel to worlds unknown. It will be so fun. Why not now?
Why do you think, Ruthie, that people in their mind want to wait until the last second to accept Christ as their Savior instead of wanting to live a lifetime down here with him previous to going on to glory?
I think it's because they don't know who God is. I think they've been told in their life that they have to love God. And if they don't, there's no freedom. Because if they don't love God, watch out. He's going to torture them forever, burn them. I mean, they're doomed. They don't get the idea quick from the Bible. My God, why have you let me go? Why have you let me go? Why did you give me this freedom? And it's all about love, because love demands freedom.
Amen. Ruthie, thank you so much for stopping by. And folks, remember, 20 questions with a champion in Christ. What have you learned today?
It's been fun, George, hasn't it?
It really has. And there's been some things that have made me stop and kind of think a little bit about some of the thoughts that you made. And I'm sure our listeners have probably also as we've continued on through the questions. And folks, just remember that God loves you with an everlasting love and that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, even for a moment. God bless, and we'll see you again next week right here on Strong Tower Radio Today.